Jays with an off day. They open up a really important series against Baltimore tomorrow night. While the Orioles are busy, they're in Minnesota finishing off a set against the Twins before coming to Toronto. I believe, it is Marco Estrada as they moved R.A. Dickey up and Marco Estrada back, getting set for this big series. We go down the South Street Burger guest hotline. We're joined by our pal Arden Zwelling from Sportsnet and also the host of At the Letters podcast, which you can pick up at sportsnet.ca. And Arden, I almost feel like we should just replay your podcast with Ben Nicholson-Smith because a lot of the topics that you discussed there, we're going to talk about with you today. How you doing?
Good. How are you, man?
Excellent, bud. Excellent. The Jays, should we be nervous, excited, trepidatious? How should we, as we're observing this team heading to Monday's trade deadline, how should we feel right now?
I think you can feel comfortable, really, because you know even if the Blue Jays don't make a move, as a Blue Jays fan, you still have a terrific rotation with Aaron Sanchez, who is no joke, a Cy Young candidate. Marco Estrada and Jay Happ both pitching very well. You still got really powerful bats up and down the lineup. You know, Jose Bautista just returned, Edwin Encarnacion, and Josh Donaldson been playing great all year. Troy Tulowitzki has come around, and Michael Saunders has been really good. And you still got Roberto Osuna at the back end of that bullpen, who's as good a closer as anybody. And Jason Grilli has still been very nicely into a setup role. So I think you can feel comfortable, but, obviously the Blue Jays are still going to be looking to improve going into the deadline.
I won't lie to you. I feel like I'm asking, the same question to you that I asked to Dave Zarum, one of your peers at Sportsnet, as we headed to the NBA trade deadline about the Raptors. So let me ask you about the Jays. I'm assuming that most of us, and I don't know, maybe you don't feel this way, but the Cubs look like one of the teams to beat right now. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, they're the team to beat. Are the Toronto Blue Jays good enough to beat them? Are they good enough to beat anybody as composed right now? Or if they really want to win, they do have to add something.
Well, if the Blue Jays are playing the Cubs, and if they're in a place where they have to beat the Cubs, then they're in the World Series. So that's a good thing already. And really, in a seven-game series, a lot of times the better baseball team doesn't win. Like, it's just not a big enough sample to determine who's the best baseball team. It's going to be a lot of luck involved. We've seen Clayton Kershaw go out in the playoffs, and he's the best pitcher on the face of the earth. And we've seen him go out and poo-poo the bed. So, they're crazy things can happen in a short seven-game series. So, I don't think the Blue Jays are kind of trying to build to beat the Cubs right now.
No.
They're trying to build to beat the Orioles and the Red Sox and to win the American League East, because it really is important in this playoff structure to win your division as opposed to going in as wild card. You don't want to get into a one-game playoff, certainly. So, I think the Red Sox and the Orioles are the primary concern for the Blue Jays right now.
Because this whole path that you led me down fascinates me. If they don't do anything, if they stand pat, what does their rotation look like come postseason, assuming they get there? I mean, do they move Sanchez to the bullpen? Is R.A. Dickey a guy that they would start? Has Hutchinson got a role? Well, what do you look at, or how would you look at the rotation if they did nothing going into a postseason series?
It'd be interesting for certain. I mean, I'm not sold on the fact that Aaron Sanchez is going to the bullpen. I think he's pitching far too well for the Blue Jays to take him out of their rotation down this stretch run. I think they'd be making themselves demonstratively worse if they weren't getting, six or seven innings of Aaron Sanchez every time through the rotation. And what you can do to manage his innings, if you're concerned about the long-term health of his arm, so you can back him off a day or two here and there. You can get creative with the off days. You can get creative with R.A. Dickey, who can go on short rest. So, I would see Aaron Sanchez, Marco Estrada, and Jay Happ being your primary arms in a playoff rotation, and then Marcus Stroman being your fourth option. And really, you could get to a situation where you really don't need to use R.A. Dickey in the postseason at all because of the off days and then the way you can just roll your pitchers.
That said, would we see no role for R.A. Dickey? I mean, not even in the reliever. I mean, it's a little difficult because you got to, he has the same catcher all the time. But, I mean, is R.A. Dickey kind of have that same role that we saw last year for, a veteran pitcher that works a ton of innings but no role in the postseason?
I mean, R.A. Dickey's a great pitcher to get you to the postseason because, he'll throw you 200 innings and he'll have an ERA around 4. And there's not a lot of guys, really, when you look at it, who in the American League East can throw 200 innings at ERA below 4. I mean, it's a very select club. Great to get you to the postseason. I think you're concerned about him in a game that has that much riding on it, a postseason game. because Ari Dickey, while he's, you know, liable to go out and go eight innings and only give up three hits, he's also liable to go out and give up seven, you know, four innings. You know, so you just, the nature of the knuckleball is some days it's on and it's fantastic, and some days it's not working at all. So I'm not sure that you'd feel comfortable rolling the dice with Ari Dickey in a postseason game.
Sportsnet's Arden Zwelling, our guest down the South Street Burger guest hotline. Derek?
Huge series coming up between the Blue Jays and the Orioles, the top two teams in the American League East. And Marco Estrada is scheduled to start to the opener, that three-game set tomorrow at Rogers Center. His second game back since he came off the DL. And Arden, there seems to be some concern that that lower back injury may be something that bothers him a little bit longer term here. What are you hearing?
You know, Marco says he feels great. You know, he had a lot of time off over the All-Star break. He had, you know, quite a few cortisone injections right before it. And that's kind of, that's the treatment that he had coming out of spring training. And it did wonders for him then. And he seems to think it's done wonders for him now. You know, he's had only the one start since the All-Star break against Seattle. He went six innings, only allowed two runs. You know, he looked just like regular old Marco Estrada, you know, not giving up a ton of hits, not walking anybody, just being efficient and getting weak contact. So I have no reason to believe that Marco Estrada, you know, is going to be hampered by this thing down the stretch. If anyone knows, you know, this injury well and inside and out and how his body responds to certain treatments, it's Marco Estrada, and he sounds very confident that he's ready to go.
The Jays and the O's obviously have two of the most prolific offenses in all of baseball. That aside, how do you compare these two teams going into this three-game series and even further down the road? Where do you see some strengths and weaknesses on both clubs?
Well, you hit it on the head with the fact that the offenses are both elite and two of the best offenses, you know, not just in the American League, but in all of baseball. So these are two teams that can really slug it out with each other. You know, what separates them is starting pitching. Really, and you know the Orioles' rotation is not to be desired. It's not a good place to be, and you know, I think a lot of people are expecting the Orioles to try to upgrade their starting rotation at the trade deadline. Prices are just so high, and you know, I'm not sure the Orioles have the prospect capital to play in that market. But you know, the Orioles starters are, when you know, when you're starting Giovanni Gallardo and Ubaldo Jimenez on a regular basis, I mean, you can't really feel too good about your chances. That said, the Orioles really aren't going away. You know, I feel like they've been in first place for a very long time now, and they keep winning games on the strength of their offense and, you know, the strength of a really, really good bullpen, which they probably have the edge over the Jays in. So but they really do kind of add up kind of evenly when you think that, you know, they have a much better bullpen and a much better starting staff. So an interesting race to watch.
A report surfaced last night through the Washington Post that the Nationals have asked about Jose Bautista. Of course, any general manager can ask about any player in any sport and be told yes or no or maybe. Any fire where there's smoke here?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's such a weird, like, Blue Jays fan fiction thing, that, you know, the whole trading Jose Bautista thing. I'm not sure why so many fans just don't want him to be here. You know, saying that a team asked about a guy or inquired about a guy, I mean, it really doesn't mean much. I mean, I guarantee you, the only team that inquired about Jose Bautista. I think a lot of teams have probably looked at the Blue Jays and said they have three really good hitters on expiring contracts. Bautista, Edwin Castellon, and Michael Saunders. Let's make the call and see if there's any way we can pry them away, if there's any kind of structure to a deal here. So, you know, just because general managers are talking about a player doesn't mean that, you know, there's anything that's liable to happen. I'd be absolutely shocked if Jose Bautista was traded before the deadline.
Arden Zwelling from Sportsnet, our guest down the South Street Burger guest hotline. Just like to pick your brain on a couple of the smaller moves that have been made here in the last couple of days by the Jays. And we'll start with the trade from a couple of days ago, getting the pitcher out of Seattle, Benoit. How do we view this? Obviously, this isn't the big deal that everybody was hoping for, but where does he fit?
Yeah, it was an interesting deal in that the Blue Jays had designated Drew Storen for assignment, so he was gone. And they had, you know, they were already on the hook for, you know, $8.5 million to him. So they basically flipped him for Joaquin Benoit to see if maybe we can get something out of this sunk cost in Drew Storen. Maybe we get a guy who can rebound here. And, you know, Joaquin Benoit was having a similar year to Drew Storen's in that, you know, he was walking too many, way too many players and giving up home runs. So, you know, I guess, you know, the Blue Jays are going to see if there's something left in there. I mean, he still throws 94 miles an hour, which is definitely an asset, and he's still got a really good, you know, split changeup. The issue is Benoit has been walking just everybody mm-hmm. that he sees this year. And we saw in his, you know, first appearance for the Blue Jays in that one inning, he didn't give up a run, but he did walk two batters. So if he can get the walks under control and if he can, you know, be in the zone, maybe he can be a useful piece, but I'm certainly not expecting, you know, the sun and the moon from him.
The Jays also sign a guy they've got a little familiarity with, a veteran catcher in Eric Kratz. Should we pay attention to this deal? Is this important? Is this just, you know, shoring up something, or is this a guy we might see?
Well, the Blue Jays released Tony Sanchez from the Buffalo Bisons, who was kind of their, you know, a third-string catcher, if you want to call him that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not entirely sure what happened there. He might have had a major league opportunity somewhere else that the Blue Jays were going to let him go and pursue. Who knows? So Eric Kratz kind of fills into that role. You know, he's someone the Blue Jays are familiar with. He's someone with a bunch of power, a great, great clubhouse guy, you know, someone who really gets along well with everybody and really manages pitchers well and really, really cares and takes his craft very seriously. So, you know, I think you'll probably see him in September when rosters expand. You know, you'll see him if there's an injury to Russell Martin or Josh Tolley. But, you know, until as long as Ari Dickey is with the Toronto Blue Jays, Josh Tolley is going to be the backup catcher because you need someone who can catch the knuckleball.
Of course, the Blue Jays also made a deal with the Padres getting Melvin Upton Jr., and I'm still trying to wrap my head around how they got the Padres to eat so much of his contract. For those who aren't aware, they owe him about a third of his $15.45 million salary for this season, and then $16.45 million for next year. And apparently the Padres are going to cover around 17 of that $22 million, is that right?
Yeah, the Blue Jays are only on the hook for $5 million of the remaining money for Melvin Upton.
Yeah, when you look at what they gave up for him, rookie ball right-hander Hansel Rodriguez, looks like a lot of upside for the Blue Jays in this trade, especially with potentially losing some outfielders next season. Is there any downside here?
No, not really. I mean, it's a value play for the Blue Jays. I mean, the downside is if, you know, Melvin Upton returns to what he was in Atlanta a few years ago, where, I mean, he was barely rosterable with, you know, the numbers that he was putting up. I mean, this is a guy who played a full season with the Braves after signing a really big contract and hit 184 in, you know, 450 plate appearances. So, I mean, that's really, really bad. So, you know, Melvin Upton has certainly rebounded this season. I mean, he's got 16 homers already. I mean, he's, you know, he's getting on base. He's stealing a lot of bases. You know, he's looked really good. I think that his value was pretty low because he doesn't have the greatest reputation around baseball. And a lot of that comes from when he was with the Tampa Bay Rays. And he made it to the major leagues as a 19-year-old. I mean, he was super young. And, you know, there were some issues there with, you know, hustling, basically, and running out ground balls. You know, his attitude and how he treated, you know, his work away from the field and what he did on defense and just being a good teammate. And there were definitely some issues there. And, you know, there were times that Joe Maddon, who's managing the Rays there, you know, had to bench him in the middle of games just because, you know, the effort level wasn't there and he had to kind of discipline him in that way. So that reputation has really followed Melvin Upton around for a while. But, you know, that's when he was a teenager and he's in his 30s now. And, you know, from what I've observed of him is he's a quiet guy, a reserved guy, but, you know, a guy who's taking his craft seriously. You know, if there's an environment to get the best out of somebody who is still uber talented, like Melvin Upton Jr., it's one like the Blue Jays where you have, you know, a lot of veteran players, a lot of accountable players, a lot of good clubhouse guys, a team with pretty good chemistry and a team that's really, you know, in the mix and in right now. So there's all the motivation in the world for Melvin Upton to give his all to the Toronto Blue Jays.
Arden, we started off this conversation by just, you know, wondering aloud, if the Jays did nothing at the deadline, what would the situation be like? Put yourself in the shoes of Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins. What would you want to be accomplishing? What would Arden Zwelling want to accomplish between now and Monday for this Blue Jays team?
I would absolutely 100% without a doubt get a reliable back end high leverage reliever. And if that's Will Smith from the Brewers or, you know, Jeremy Jeffress or whoever that is, I need somebody that I can count on beyond Roberto Osuna and Jason Grilly. So those are really guys that you really truly trust out of that bullpen right now. Past that, you know, Joaquin Benoit is a wild card. We have talked about him.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Cecil and Jesse Chavez, they've taken some pretty significant steps back from what they've done earlier in their careers. Joe Biagini is very young. He's a Rule 5 guy. You don't always know what you're going to get out of him. And Franklin Morales is another just complete wild card in that bullpen, a guy who was thrown in the 90s last year and now is you know, its velocities are in the high 80s, which is pretty concerning and pretty troubling. So I would want, you know, absolutely just a high leverage, big arm in the back of that bullpen who's at the top of his game and who's playing well. And I would be willing to part with a top prospect to get it, honestly, because I think it's the biggest glaring weakness on this team.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because we had that conversation a couple of days ago, and I know that we're supposed to, you know, be conservative and manage the assets moving forward. I think for the last 20 years, have we not proven that just getting to the playoffs is a big deal? And when you have a chance, when you can win, you got to go for it. I don't care who it is. I said earlier, if it took Vladdy Guerrero Jr. to get the right piece, not any piece, but the right piece, I would do it, whatever it takes. I think you got to go for it if you're Toronto.
Absolutely. Anytime that you have an opportunity like this to raise the division banner and put a pennant up there, I mean, you absolutely have to take it because the playoffs in baseball are such a crapshoot.
Yep.
3 weeks of mayhem, whereas, you know, winning a division takes you 6 months. So, and we've also seen how many times have we seen top prospects flame out? I mean, way, way, way more often than Justin Smoke was a top prospect at one point. You know, Dominic Brown is in AAA with the Blue Jays. Jesus Montero. In AAA at the Blue Jays. These are guys who are top prospects, made at the deadline for players like Cliff Lee and what have you, and they didn't turn out. So, you know, I'm always in favor of trading your prospects when their value is at their highest. I really, 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 truly believe that this is a great thing.
Arden, as always, appreciate the visit. Thanks for giving us some time today. I encourage everybody to check out the podcast at the letters and read your stuff, the sportsnet.ca and the magazine. Thanks for giving us some time today.
Thanks, fellas. All the best.